Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people into a growing relationship with God. Life Change. We're so grateful that you chose to listen to today's message. And in the future, we want to make this experience better for you by giving you the opportunity to watch videos as well. But to do that, we need your help. We need your help in raising funds for video equipment. So if you'd like to donate, please go to our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com and click the link to give online, and you can use the drop-down box for video equipment. Thanks so much for your support. And as always, we hope this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Today we're going to be talking about something that's a little bit different. I want to know, my main goal is today to find out where our miracles are. I want to know, I'm a little bit mad at God. I'm a little bit disquieted by it. I want to know, God, where are my modern day miracles? He had all these cool miracles in the Bible, right? You know them all. But I want to know, where are my modern day miracles at? So we have the regular ones. You know, we have childbirth, which a lot of us consider regular. We have health, getting over sickness. We have our finances. We fall in love. Those are all miracles, all right? But I want to know, where are my big miracles? Where are my big biblical miracles? So let's define what a biblical miracle is. A biblical miracle is defined like this. The biblical concept is limited to those not explainable solely by natural processes, but which require the direct causal agency of a supernatural being, usually God. Basically, what are we saying there? We're basically saying, whatever science can't explain and it's in God's will, we're going to call a miracle. Okay, so now if we can agree on that definition, let's look at some of God's greatest hits. All right, so let's go with the first one. What's the first miracle that everybody knows? Probably when he flipped on the light switch. That's a pretty good one. All right, God said, let there be light. Shazam, we have light. All right, he put a bunch of people, well, actually just a couple people if you want to get technical, some animals, some plants, made it rain, all that stuff, did it in 6 days. That's a pretty cool miracle, all right? I don't expect God to recreate that miracle for me. I'm not going to walk out today and out here on Church Street, I'm not going to see God's miracle of recreating everything. I'll give him a pass on that one. I'll let that one be just one modern-day miracle, all right? So if we look at kind of the next big miracle in the Bible, there's some little ones in there, but what's the next big one would be, let's talk about Jesus' birth. Okay, this one's pretty good when you think about it. What's it start with? A virgin conception. Okay, that's pretty cool. Most of us know how babies are made. All right, if we're going to do a virgin conception, that in and of itself is a miracle. Okay, it is in and of itself a miracle. Now, what else do we have? We have a long trip going to get the baby. She's 9 months pregnant. Makes a long trip. Stops at the hotel. Guy puts down his cell phone. Says, hey, we've got no room. Okay, no room. There's a barn out back if you guys want. Throws her in some straw, has a little bed. 10 fingers, 10 toes later, we have a miracle. All right, that the baby survived the long trip, the virgin conception, everything. That's a miracle. Now, this goes back to what we all say, the miracle of childbirth. So I used to be the guy that says that. Okay, childbirth, miracle, yada, 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 yada. Let's take a look at my miracle, though, okay? This is my little girl that you met, okay? Tegan, you guys know her as the one who screams all around church, won't go to anybody's, kind of a royal pain if we want to get honest with it, but I love her, okay? She's my kid, she's my miracle, I love her, okay? No doubt about it. Tegan looks like this now, she's a little older now. Before she was born, she had 3 blood transfusions. Think about that. Before she was born, she had to have 3 blood transfusions. Carrie had an issue with the Rh negative thing, and about 0.5% of the women that get it, it actually takes full effect. We were lucky enough to win that lottery. Okay, we got the 0.5%. 3 blood transfusions before she was born. Okay, so my little girl that looks like this now comes out on my birthday, and looks like this. She's attached to every machine imaginable. She's got a respirator, IVs, blood transfusions. She's got it all. Okay, that's my little girl. That's my little miracle. She has three more transfusions before she's deemed to be okay. All right, three more transfusions, okay? Something interesting about this, and of course it's just coincidence. I'll chalk it up to that, being sarcastic, of course. Carrie and I have my son Bryson, who's 7 years old. We've been trying to have Tegan for roughly 5 years, okay? We've been trying to have her for 5 years, couldn't get pregnant. So if we would have had Tegan 5 years earlier and God would have answered that miracle, she'd be dead. She wouldn't have survived. The medical advancements that saved her life would not have been there. So what does that mean? That miracle, the miracle that I wanted, the miracle that Carrie wanted, she would have come out dead because she wouldn't have survived. God's will and God's timing equals our miracle. It's not in my timing. Okay, it's not in my will. It's in God's will and God's timing. Let my little miracle happen. So when we think of miracles and we think of Jesus' birth and we want to go on and we want to doubt things about God and doubt things about God's miracles, keep that in mind. It's God's will and God's miracle. Now, if you don't believe in God, what are you going to say? Well, it's science. Of course it is. Okay? It's doctors. They finally caught up. They can finally fix this problem that we have. It's just a coincidence. Okay, so if you don't believe in God, you don't believe that that's a miracle. That's a miracle in my life. But let's chalk it up to science then, okay? So let's look at another miracle in the Bible then. Another one that everybody loves is Lazarus. Lazarus is a pretty cool miracle, all right? If you don't know the story of Lazarus, we're going to go over it real quick. Basically, he's dead, he pops up, boom, we're good to go. Okay? One of the most impressive things about this is the Bible says God was 4 days late. God's not late. Okay? God's just not late. But let's look at the story of Lazarus and get a little into it. If we go to John 11, 1 through 7 says, "Now a certain man named Lazarus was ill. He was of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was now sick. So the sister sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love so well is sick.' When Jesus received the message, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through or by it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. They were his dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem. Therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he still stayed 2 days longer in the same place where he was. Then after that interval, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back again to Judea.'" So let's look at this a little later into the story. Jesus comes to Bethany. He talks to Martha. She actually chastises him, says, "Lord, you're late. If you would have been here earlier, Lazarus would have survived." Jesus tells her he will rise again. So let's look a little farther in the story. Verse 23 says, "Jesus said to her, 'Your brother shall rise again.' Martha replied, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes and adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, although he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever continues to live and believes in me shall never die at all. Do you believe this?'" Verse 27 says, "She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believed, and I do believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, who was to come into the world.' And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. The Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened a blind man's eyes have prevented this man from dying?' Now Jesus, again sighing repeatedly and deeply disquieted, approached the tomb. It was a cave, and a boulder lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone, Martha.' 'The sister of the dead man,' exclaimed the Lord. 'But Lord, by this time he throws off an offensive odor, for he has been dead for 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you would see the glory of God?" What does this story tell us? First of all, it tells us that Lazarus comes out of the grave. Okay, that's great. That's not the part of the story that I love. The important part of the story was Jesus sighed and was disquieted. Why did Jesus sigh and become disquieted? He was disappointed in the lack of faith that the people around him showed. Okay, Jesus told him he was going to raise Lazarus. Jesus sighed and became disquieted over the lack of faith that the group around him had shown. Could that not be like a lot of us today? Does that not sound like us? Let me put this thought out there, okay? We don't have to have a modern-day Lazarus miracle, because what if God put 98% of all modern-day medicine was to cure 98% of all of our ills? Everything, all of our sicknesses, all of our health issues, 98% of them have a cure. What if God made those so we didn't have to die and become a Lazarus miracle? Now, I'm the first one that wants to go to a funeral and see somebody pop up from a coffin. Would love to see it. Scared the living tar out of people. It would be great. I would love it. However, maybe God's miracle is all the vaccinations and all the fixes we have for all of our health issues. But no, we can chalk those up to science too. You know, that's what the non-believers would come along and say. What about in the morning, you're running 5 minutes late, and because you're 5 minutes late, you didn't get T-boned by that car that ran a red light through the intersection and kill you, okay? Is that not your Lazarus miracle? Did God not spare you from death by making you 5 minutes late? And instead, we kind of curse him maybe, or we don't praise him for things like that. Think about that. Another quick miracle in my life. About 3 years ago, I got an infection in my toe, in my foot. All right. So I spend a couple weeks in the hospital. I've got all kind of IVs, PICC lines. I'm in there a while. They've got antibiotics, every kind of drug running through my body. I was pretty messed up. So it goes by, they come across, I've got all the letters of the alphabet. I got the MRSA, the staff, I got everything in there. You know, it was a good concoction, not gonna lie. 2 weeks later, they send me out, pat me on the butt, good bill of health. Okay. Couple months later, I go to the doctor. I say, man, doc, I got that dizzy feeling. I know the infection's back. I can't function. I know it's back. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they run blood work. They run my labs. They do an x-ray. Everything's clean. Nothing. It's in my head. I go referee a volleyball game at 5 o'clock. By 8 o'clock, I'm holding on to a pole so I don't pass out. I get rushed to the hospital, and I'm there for another couple weeks. Well, as I'm taking a nap one day, what you do on all those drugs, as a lot of you know, I wake up to Carrie having this look of, uh-oh. And I wake up with a bag of ice hitting me in the face. Okay? I have nurses shoveling bags of ice, shoveling ice onto me to keep me alive, and I have no idea what's going on. I have none. My temperature while I was sleeping got up to 106.4. Okay? Most people don't come back from 106.4. Okay, that's almost a death sentence. Why am I here? It's my miracle. Okay? It's not because I had a strong body or anything like that. That's my miracle. Okay? The next couple of days they were doing labs on me, and every doctor and nurse was pointing me out in the hospital going, "Oh, you're the 106.4 guy." You know, so that was kind of cool to see, but I should probably not be here because of that. That's my Lazarus. That's my modern-day miracle. However, once again, if a non-believer comes along, they're going to say, doctors, science, and we can look at that. But as a Christian, I believe that that's my modern-day Lazarus miracle. Okay, so we'll chalk that up to, if you want to go science, we'll go science on that. That's my idea of a modern-day miracle. Let's look at a couple other one of them real quick. The water and the wine one's really cool. I like this one the best. If you look at it, that's Jesus acting at a Walmart right there. That's pretty cool. I kind of wish that was the case, but it's not. So let's go water and wine and feeding the 5,000. Now, we never see a miracle here at all, okay? Feeding the 5,000, 2 loaves of bread, 5 fish, never see that, okay? That's a little irritating, because think of it. You have all these third world starvation issues. We have all these starvation issues at home. Okay? Nothing God does in this category is a miracle at all. Food for the Poor is a Christian organization. Okay? $3 a month feeds somebody. $30 a month feeds 10 people. Okay? I went to dinner last night, spent 30 bucks myself on my three family members. Okay, 30 bucks a month feeds 10 people. Is that not God providing a miracle? Is that not God feeding the 5,000? Think about it. You can chalk it up to any modern day thing. You can chalk it up to people giving donations. You can chalk it up to companies giving food. Is that not God providing the miracle of feeding the 5,000? Okay, we like to skip over those type of things, but that is of a miracle. If you want to go farther, you know, say, okay, that's overseas. Go to the Salvation Army. Go to the Lookup Center. Go to a local place like that. All right? We're feeding people for free. We're feeding needy people. We donate, our church donates to the food pantry. What they can do with 10 bucks is 10 times what we can do with 10 bucks because God has provided them the contacts they need to get cheap food. Okay? Is that not God providing our miracle there? No, we're going to call it coincidence again. No, that's God providing a miracle. Christians look into that. We know about that. One last miracle that I want to go over that I really want to see, you know. How about the resurrection? That's a cool miracle. All right, that's God again, you know, instead of raising somebody up from the dead, that's God again. Raising up himself this time. Raising up Jesus after he died. We went and killed him. Good job us. Okay? But that's God after 3 days again raising his son up from the dead. The coolest part about this whole thing, that is the miracle that is guaranteed to us. Think about it. We have one miracle in the Bible that is guaranteed to us. All we have to do is profess our faith in Jesus and we get the resurrection miracle. Okay? How cool is that? We get a miracle guaranteed and it's the one miracle that we should all strive after. It's the one miracle that's the whole point we're here is that one miracle that is guaranteed to us by doing that one simple leap of faith. By doing that one thing. That is just completely awesome. So what is the point to all this? What's the point to my sermon? I mean, we're looking for modern-day miracles. Where are my modern-day miracles? And some of the struggles we have in looking for miracles, go to the 11th floor at Children's Hospital. What's the 11th floor? It's the cancer ward. Okay? I defy you to go up there and not come out in a better mood than you went in. Those kids up there have the light of God in them. Okay? They're going through struggles. They're going through a struggle in life that they don't even know. The light that shines through the kids in the cancer ward at Children's will knock you to your knees when you get out of there of how ashamed I am. And I did this because that was where Tegan had her treatments. It shames me that I don't have a hundredth of the light that those kids have. Okay? What about all the other things we go through? All the senseless massacres, the wars, the terrorism, the destruction that we have. Those have been around since the beginning of the Bible, since the beginning of biblical times. Okay? One of our biggest pillars of the Bible was David. Okay? David's biggest thing is he was a modern day general. He was a warrior. That's what David was most noted for. Okay. So do we not completely lack the faith that it takes to receive miracles? If you're God and you look down at us, humanity as a whole, does he look down at us and say, man, you guys are awesome. I'm giving you this miracle today. I'm letting you see Noah building the ark, or I'm letting you see whatever big miracle comes your way. I get the feeling that he's not looking down on humanity saying, man, you guys deserve a miracle. That's what Jesus died for. Okay? So if he doesn't look down at humanity, let's break it down farther. Does he look at us individually? Can God look at me and go, Lance, you've been really good the last year, so you deserve this miracle here. And Shazam, I get my big modern day miracle. No, he's not going to look at me and do that. I can tell you that much. You know, he's not looking at this guy. You know, Christians, and especially me, and this is why I'm not getting there, when things are going good, do we kind of forget God? Probably. When things are going bad, man, I'm the first one to hit my knees and go, why? Where are you, man? Come on. But when things are going good, I don't give the praises out. I really don't. Maybe that's what it takes for me to see more miracles. I gave you two major miracles in my life that I know I don't deserve. Okay? Here's something else that Christians often say. We believe God is in complete control and give all over to Him. So everything we have, we give over to God. Finances, love, health, religion, everything like that we give to God. If that's a true statement, why do we lack the faith so much in God to receive miracles? Why is our faith not 100% handed over to God also? Keep in mind, God answers the miracles that we request that are in His will only. Those are the only ones. The miracles that we pray for, that we request from God, if they're in His will, is the only way they get answered. Okay, we can pray for them, and sometimes we don't like the answer. Like if I would have had Tegan 5 years earlier, in my time and my will, I wouldn't have liked the answer. Keep in mind, it's God's will and God's time. Okay? We often wonder, God, why do you let the evil stuff in the world happen? Where's the miracles that we need there? Romans 5, 3 through 4 says this. We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I want you to think about that for a second because it's really important. Okay, you're up on the 11th floor at Children's Hospital. What do you have? You have suffering. What do you see? The light in the kids? You see the hope. So if you ever want to know if the Bible is real, take this verse, go to the 11th floor, and look. This verse lives there. Okay? This verse lives there. Okay? Now that we've looked at all this, what can we do to help facilitate the miracles? I got Pastor Corbin in a time of weakness on a Monday. This is what he looks like on a Monday, just to let you guys know.
Today's reading comes from the book of Proverbs. If I may digress for a moment from my prepared message, I mean it when I say to you, you guys, sometimes you're bad. Don't be jerks. You're supposed to be good. I'm in my office every day and somebody comes in and they're like, hey, whoops. I'm like, don't! Dan, what is your deal? If anybody doesn't know, Dan is the worst. I took a vow to not say who was the worst, but it's Dan. You guys are making me look bad in front of God. What's that? Oh, look, it's Jesus. And he said, stop it! The word of the Lord.
All right, so that's Corb on a Monday, just to let you guys know what he deals with. By Sunday, he turns around pretty good. So a miracle is defined differently by each person. Your miracle can happen any different way in any different time. So how can you make somebody else's miracle happen? Let's look at this slide real quick. If we do this, if A, B, C, and D equal 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we do the little add-up thing, if you add up all the letters in knowledge, it equals 96%. Add up hard work equals 98%. If you add up attitude, it equals 100%. Think of that real quick. Okay? Your attitude is 100%. It's 100% of what is you, what comes out of you. So how can we help somebody else's miracle? Our attitude is the most important part in helping somebody's miracle. Okay? If we come in and, you know, if we're not listening to somebody, or we come in and we have a frown on our face and we don't want to talk to people, that kind of puts people in a bad mood. But if we're up there smiling all the time, greeting, hello, hello, even though in the back of our minds we're having a bad day, or we think, you know, hey, your makeup looks like a clown, or, you know, your hair is getting a little far back up in the forehead. Even if we're thinking that, if we say, man, you look great today, I love the outfit you're wearing. If we're just happy, that means a lot to people. Side note here, do not follow my example. Okay? I'm horrible at this. All right, you're going to see me. I'm grumpier more than not. I don't like talking to a lot of people more than not. So don't follow my example. I'm just telling you what you should do. Corb told me to say that. Okay? So just watch what you do. Your attitude is the most important thing. All right? Some of the things we do. If you invite people to dinner, or you invite people to coffee, and you say, hey, let's meet for coffee at 5 o'clock, and, you know, we'll do 5 to 5:30. And they're in the middle of a conversation that you may be able to help them. Maybe they're trying to tell you, I'm on the edge of depression. I'm on the edge of financial ruin. Maybe they're getting ready to tell you some stuff and it's 5:30. Do not run home because you want to watch Jeopardy. Okay? Do not make them feel awkward in a conversation. Maybe God is going to use you. If you can't fix their problem, maybe He's using you to lead them to somebody who can. Okay? So make sure you're helping people. Make sure you're at ease in their conversations. Another way to help is if you're a manager or if you're a parent in life, don't micromanage things. Okay? If you micromanage things, by definition, you're making yourself feel superior to somebody else. Okay? If you're micromanaging something and, you know, you're saying, hey, just let me do this, or hey, you screwed this up, let me take it and do it. Hey, if you're on top of everybody, by definition, you're making them feel like less of a person. Okay? I'm not good enough to be you up here. So what you want to do is you want to help build people. You know, if I'm working under a micromanager and I'm having a bad day, that tilts me more towards the cliff. Okay? If my manager says, hey, you're doing a great job here, maybe we could do it this way, and lets you think you have the ideas, maybe that leads you away from the cliff a little bit, saying, man, this guy, this girl thinks that, man, they're trying to lead me, they're trying to help me, and I'm doing a really good job. Okay, so micromanaging in life, and same thing with your kids, you know, parents micromanage their kids, try to let them have a little bit of freedom. You know, maybe it'll get their self-worth a little bit more. Let me ask you this. Are we easy to be around? Are we always asking for something? Interrupting, not listening, needy, rude. Kids can do this. Friends, relations, people that you're having a casual conversation with can't. Be easy to be around with. So keep in mind, we can be somebody's miracle by the way we interact. Always keep in mind by the way you're portraying yourself also. Since 2004, depression has gone up in the United States by 375% since 2004. Anybody want to take a guess what happened in 2004? Does anybody know? Facebook started. Okay? Facebook started in 2004. Depression's risen 375%. I'm not drawing the line there. I'm not connecting it. You do that yourself. Okay? I will tell you one thing. I love seeing pictures of you guys. I love seeing blurbs of you guys. My family is such a hot mess, I can't compete with you guys. Okay, it really is. I got the kid that you saw that cries all the time. I got the other one who's running around like a tornado. Okay? My wife likes me sometimes. Sometimes she doesn't. Okay? I can't compete with you guys. Okay? So when we post stuff, we always post our best, which everybody's always heard before. Let me ask you this. And I'm not saying do this at all. So let me put that little proclaimer out there. Exclaimer, how's that sound? That's a better word. What happens if we would post our worst? Think about it for a second. What happens when we post, I'm struggling today, I'm depressed, I'm in a funk? What happens when we post, hey, I'm financially on the cliff? what happens when my infant hasn't let me sleep in 3 months? I'm sleep deprived. My other kid's crazy. He's calling me every name in the book. What happens if we post that on Facebook? If I had to guess, I would say you would have a lot of friends post back, hey, I'm in the same boat. Let's talk. I'm in the same boat. Maybe I can help you. You can help me. Keep in mind, where God is gathered, or where two or more are gathered, God is there. Keep that in mind. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. I just wanted to put that little thought in your head. Luke 1:37 is one of my favorite scriptures. And this is what it says. How we act, and it's for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall ever be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So when you're posting stuff on Facebook, when you're greeting people out here in the foyer, when you're at your job and it's 4:30 and you're just tired throughout the day, keep in mind that if you're a godly Christian, what you say, how you act, is not without power or impossible fulfillment if you're a godly person. Just keep that in mind. You should be portraying God all the time. Okay? So it's safe to say that we do have these major miracles, and we can help be somebody's miracle. Okay? With our attitude, with just the little things we do, we can lead people to miracles. We can help be somebody's miracle. Okay? In the Bible, people die. Most don't have that miracle of Lazarus. In the Bible, people get sick. In the Bible, people were poor. There were financial hardships. In the Bible, there were even forms of depression. Okay? In the Bible, there was terrorism. There was war. Okay? All those occurred in the Bible. God has given us different forms of miracles, but He's catered our miracles to the modern day situations. Okay? You don't have to die if you get a cold. Okay? He's fixed that for us. So when we get over a cold, maybe we should go ahead and plop down on our knees and say, God, thank you for that miracle. All right? The last little miracle that I would like to go over, and everybody has seen it, I guarantee it. Okay? What about those people that are kicking addictions and coming to Christ? How many times do we see the people that are kicking addictions in jail or been plucked out of a bad situation? God puts a miracle in their lives, puts a Bible in their hands, and they pass us on the road to Christ, and they start leading us. They start showing us the light. That is a modern-day miracle that everybody can see. It's a miracle in their life, and if we get out of our own ways and open up our eyes, that's a miracle in our life too. So, think of all the miracles in your life, your family, your finances, your health, your relationships. Is it time to thank God for all your miracles? And also, is it time to truly dig in and try to be someone else's miracles? Today, I would like us to do something, all right? You have the Connect cards. You have the inserts in your bulletin, okay? There's three things I want to consider, and I want to physically write down one of them. Because I think when we write something down, they become real. Okay, nobody's going to see these, but Pastor Corbin's going to go through them this week, and he's going to pray over them. Number one, what miracle do you need that we could pray for this week as a church? So maybe you need the miracle. Maybe, man, you're broke. Or, man, my health is horrible. Or, in Kasia's case, my mom had a bad fall. I need her to be healed. Okay, what miracle do you have that we could pray for as a church? The second thing you could write down, what miracle could you help bring to a situation? So, man, I have a coworker who I know is in a bad relationship. They need prayed for. They need a miracle there. What miracle could you physically help out with more than you are right now? With your attitude, with whatever support you could lend. What miracle is that? And number three, what miracle do you want to physically put down on paper as a praise to God and his abilities that we can praise corporately. So what miracle in your life? I gave you two of my biggest ones, my top two hits. Okay, what miracle has God given you in your lifetime or even this morning? What miracle has God given you that we could praise corporately as a church? And like I say, nobody's going to look at these. Pastor Corbin will take a look at them this week. He'll pray over them. He wants the good news as well as the bad news. Okay? When he hears God's miracles and God's praises, don't think it doesn't pump us up as a church, as a pastor. It really does. So if you could take a minute here, write down one of those three. Pastor Corbin's going to come up. If the band can come up now too. Pastor Corbin's going to come up. He's going to wrap it up. But write down one of those three things on the Connect cards. And when you put it down on paper, it tends to mean a little bit more.
Cool, cool. Hey, let's give Lance a round of applause. I think he did a great job sharing about miracles. I know for me, I definitely took something from it as well. A miracle happens in God's timing, and a miracle happens in His will. And I think oftentimes we can miss His timing and we can miss His will based on our attitude. So I know I feel convicted sometimes. I'm a little grumpy here and there, or I'm not always with the greatest outlook, but our attitude can change really who we are. And I think that's powerful, and it can change what God does through us as well. Just an incredible lesson on miracles. And I'll tell you what, we're going to jump into the new year. We're going to start the new year out with prayer. And we're going to start a series next week talking about prayer and going on 31 days of prayer. So, man, if you are looking for a miracle in your life, it starts with our attitude and it starts with prayer. So come back next week at 10 a.m. We're going to talk about that as well. But if you would, fill those out. And again, for every response card that we get, we donate $1 back to the food pantry here in Lincoln County. And if you don't have a response card right now, Sarah will come up. Just raise your hand and Sarah will get one of those to you as well. But we're going to go back into one more song of worship. And I'm going to actually ask the ushers to come forward too. So, and we'll do that as an act of worship. But if you could respond right now, get those prepared, and then get any tithes or offerings ready to give back to the Lord and to further His kingdom as well. But if you would, we'll say a prayer over this response and over this offering. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank You right now. We thank You for the word spoken. We thank You for what You're doing in and through us. We thank You for the miracles we've experienced, and we're excited for the miracles that we will experience. God, I pray with every response, God, I pray that You will just move in it. God, I pray that what You learned today, we can take with us and apply it to our lives. God, I pray for this offering. I pray that the finances will be blessed and multiplied so others can experience a growing relationship with You. We thank You for who You are, and we love You. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.